Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Slow down, you move too fast. You gotta make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestone, looking for fun and... I'm looking at Alex and he just went... We're known by the music that we have, right? All right, anybody remember who did that? Yeah, what's her name? Nope. Oh, come on, you guys. Simon and Garfunkel. Anybody remember the real name of it? The 59th Street Bridge Song. Okay, and I'm saying that all of it. And even you guys are going, has it been, I mean, it's 1968. Yeah, we've done one or two things since then. Oh, slow down, you move too fast. Could that be a good statement about our culture right now? You know, when's the last time you just really went out and had a cup of tea and looked at the flowers, watched the sunset? I've noticed a lot of you going like this, and we don't do that anymore, do we? Okay. When I had first joined the Society of the Holy Trinity, it was in Texas, and we went to this retreat center, Roman Catholic. Beautiful chapel, just a beautiful chapel. And one of the things we had on the list for our second day was prayer for 2 hours. I said, okay. I said, what do we pray about? He said, whatever you want. And this is the dean of the chapter. So I'm sitting outside. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it's tall pines, and we had nestles and needles and things like that. And I'm sitting on an outdoor bench. I prayed for everyone in my congregation, all my friends, anybody I could think of, and that was the first half hour. So now I'm sitting there for an hour and a half. Now what do I do? And I got to thinking, you know, it is so beautiful here. I just started to enjoy God's creation. You know, I watched a squirrel as he was playing with nuts. You know, I watched two rabbits playing and that kind of thing. You know, there's so much stuff that goes around you that we don't see anymore because we don't take the time to look. You know, when I lived in England, I found this very interesting. I taught at the University of Exeter, about 250 miles west of London, and it was great. But the whole country shuts down for holidays. I mean, when they have a holiday, it's not, you know, like one or two. They shut down. Everybody takes time off together. Even in Sweden, they shut the entire country down for a month. Everybody goes on vacation at the same time. Yeah, 2 weekends per month. You know, I look at this kind of stuff. Where did we get the idea that if you weren't working 24/7, that you're not good? Yeah, millennials. Oh, you know, I don't know about you, but I found that one cannot be at peace or happy or joyful if you're so bone tired you don't know if you can function. Does that make sense? Folks, when we're under stress, we can't be joyful. We're not happy. We're not at peace. All we do is feel that stress. And, you know, whenever you're under stress, you get that flee or fight syndrome. You know, that's not doing you any good. So, what happens when we are under stress, whether it's real or imagined? We snap each other. We get angry. We are hateful. We're prideful. I mean, that list could keep on going on and on and on. Well, that's what Galatians 5 tells us. It's not new. You know, Paul addressed this 2,000 years ago. But he tells us to live either in the Spirit of God or the fleshy humanity. So what have I been describing leading up to this? Well, living in the flesh. Because when we are under stress, when we're working all the time, we're not in the Spirit of God. We don't have time to be happy. We don't have time to have peace. We don't have time to have joy. So, if this is all the case, don't you think we have to make a decision to change it? I choose joy. You know, Betty O'Brien, I wish so many of our new people could meet Betty. Betty is like a ray of sunshine wherever she goes. And she's 96. I mean, it's not like 91. Bobby McFerrin. Okay? Do you know Bobby McFerrin's a PK? His dad's an Episcopal pastor. And what was his big hit? Don't worry, be happy. You know, when you walk in the door at night, how many of you got dogs? Okay? Do you have to coax your dog to joyfully greet you at the door? Ron's sitting here going like this. Well, we know your relationship with your dog. Huh? Oh, okay. No matter what it is, she joyfully rushes up to you because you've returned. You know, we've got a dog that's called a Corman, that's a German Shepherd, and a Corgi mix. You ever seen a German Shepherd with 5-inch legs? No legs. Looks like a dachshund. But that dog is so loving. Well, he is. You know, when I talk to Betty, she tells me that she is having trouble sitting down because she has to have her feet up. And the thing is, she's in pain every day. And I said, has it affected you? She says, it hurts, but I choose joy. So as I started to talk about today's Gaudet Sunday. And that means, in Latin, rejoice. In other words, rejoy. Okay? All right, well, as I told Piggy last night, I was going to take the car down to the store and take the tank and fill the tank up with joy again and rejoy it. Wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy? Don't work that way, does it? Okay? Our epistle. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all. For the Lord is near at hand. Have no anxiety about anything. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Lord, you have blessed your land, and you have turned away the captivity of Jacob. Isn't that beautiful? And you know what comes next. And the peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, so when I take a look at things like this, and then I was compare that to what I experienced in Texas, is it okay sometimes just to put the feet up and be? You think Jesus would be happy with that? Or would he be happier with somebody who is so stressed out from hard work that they can't function? Stop and think about that for a second. You know, remember the end of Gone with the Wind? I'll think about that for tomorrow. For tomorrow is another day. You know, and there's times if you're really tired and you got more stuff to do, all right, I'm done for today. I'll pick it up tomorrow. But instead, we've got this work ethic in the United States that's been beat into us. You got to do it. You got to do it now. It's got to be done. I like Gene. And that's the thing, too, is, you know, like your home. Is it clean enough to be healthy? Is it dirty enough to be a home? See what I'm getting at? You know, it's okay. Rejoice. Have joy again. Well, and I was thinking about this. Rejoice. Can you rejoice if you haven't joyced? Well, think about that. No. You can't rejoice if you don't have joy. Right, so then maybe we should go down and fill the joy tank again. But it doesn't work that way. Have joy again. Does that mean we had joy and we lost it? Come here, joy. I lost my joy. See what I'm getting at? Does it need to be regained? I'm going to go to that rejoicing this morning to get a refill. I think that sounds good. Now, let's get serious here for a second. Can we have joy without peace? Can we have joy without hope? Do you think all three of those work together? Is that why this time of year that we have hope, peace, joy, love, and what's the last one back there? Jesus. You know, when we are in Advent, we're celebrating the second coming of Jesus. According to hope, peace, joy, and love, is it something to be feared? No. But yet, how many times have you heard the hellfire and brimstone about Jesus coming back? It's nothing to be feared. It's to be celebrated and be happy about. Happiness over an unintended, anticipated, or present good. Happiness over an anticipated or present good. Joy. Now, I looked this up. There's what we call a Bible dictionary. And, you know, last week when we talked about peace, we discovered that there's a biblical meaning of peace that differs from what our English meaning is. Same thing here with joy. It comes from the Hebrew word sama. Sama. Sam. Same. It's the basis for English word same. Okay? It covers a wide range of human experiences. From sexual love to marriage, the birth of your children, the gathering of the harvest, military victory, and, I got a kick out of this one, drinking wine. Okay, we can handle that. But folks, you know, when I look at stuff like this, you know, human experiences, sexual love, marriage, birth of children, gathering of the harvest, military victory, drinking wine, don't worry, be happy. Going to continue. On the spiritual level, it refers to the extreme happiness with which the believer contemplates salvation and the bliss of an afterlife. Joy. Salvation. How do we get there? Well, you believe Jesus. How does it operate in our lives? Well, in our church, we call it the means of grace. What are the means of grace? There's two, hint, hint, hint. There's two, communion and baptism. Means of grace. What does it mean? It means it's a visible work of God in our own lives. The means of grace. You know, so unexpected benefits from God are expressed in terms of common experiences. Think about that for a second. unexpected benefits from God are expressed in terms of common experiences. Can you see God in the easy? Can you see God in a squirrel playing outside? Or can you see God in the squirrel taking acorns and throwing them at you outside? Which we had in Alabama a lot. Because it was Scotty, they didn't like the Scotty because he chased them. But every time we went outside, they'd throw acorns at us. And they got to be pretty good. Yeah, that's one. Not until they hit you in the head.
Okay. Believers rejoice, because God has surrounded them with his steadfast love, brought them to salvation. David rejoices that God has delivered him from the hand of his enemies. Psalm 119. Joy is a response to God's word. His reward to the believers and their strength. Rejoice, joyous, joyfully, joy. Biblically, I think they mean more peace and hope than what we would expect from our English language. Now, think about that for a second. You know, if you had to define joy, what would you define it as? If I just said that, what's joy? What would you say? Happiness. Okay. Is there more to it than that? Of course there is. And what was our text today? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all. All right, here's the thing. What does forbearance mean? Okay, that's forbearers. Okay, keep on going with that. And what you do, how you prepare. To forbear means to prepare. You plan. Okay? You have anticipation. Anything that prepares us for the future. Why? Text tells us this. Who's coming? The Lord. You know, so if Jesus is coming back, we're preparing for that. Why do you think we celebrate Advent for 4 Sundays a year? Yeah, we're trying to get ready for Christmas, right? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I heard that. Yeah, Jesus is coming back. Scripture is full of those references. But my friends, do you really believe it deep down in your stomach? Why do I say stomach instead of heart? When you're hungry. Well, that's true too. Folks, do you know that when we have the word heart in the Bible, cardia, in the original Greek scripture, it didn't say that. The Greeks thought that the center of your being was in your spleen, in the liver, and the Hebrews believed it was in the center of our spleen. So, whenever you read that, especially in the Hebrew scriptures, because they haven't taken that out, where we translate it into English as heart, didn't say that in the original language. You ever gotten to the point where you feel something and you get sick to your stomach? Do you realize that when the fetus begins in the body, you've got the brain that starts, correct? And then those cells break in half. One half stays here. Guess where the other half goes? Stomach, all that area down here, intestines. So when you are worried up here and it comes down here, it's because it's the same brain cells working the same way. How many of you knew that? Okay, that was found out at USC here about 10, 15 years ago. Folks, there's a reason. And there's a reason that the Bible was right about it. But we as human beings look at that, oh, they can't mean that. No, I'm going to call it heart. I'm going to say cardia. Oh, come on, give me a break. But where it really is doesn't really matter, does it? What matters is having the time and taking the time to love Jesus and enjoy your life. You know, folks, it doesn't matter that that life is so busy. Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the morning last. When I was teaching college in Arizona, I had a house on a lake. And there was many times I would work 18, 19, 20 hours a day. And I would come home and make a cup of Earl Grey, go out on my deck because the moon would be shining across the lake. And this might be 3 o'clock in the morning, but I put my feet up and drink my cup of tea. Why? I needed a break, and there's more to life than just work. Although I wish I'd known it then because I lost a marriage over it. But, you know, it's one of those things. Can we do too much that we lose everything? Skeets Mahoney was a guy that I did my student teaching with. Great musician, great teacher. He knew how hard I was working. Skeets just died 2 years ago at 97. Anyway. Skeets and I went out one time and he says, I want you to think about this. I've had a lot of friends pass away. And on their deathbed, not a single one of them has ever said, boy, I wish I'd worked harder in my life. I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I'd spent more time just being happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Slow down. See those roses. Watch that moon reflect. Find some time for joy. Well, man, that's easy to say, but it's sort of hard, isn't it? But is it worth it? I think so. I would venture to say that feeling joy. Have you ever heard that word before, groovy? Well, yeah, we have. I'm looking at Alex right now. That's not one of the words. Oh, Alex, how you feel today? Oh, I feel groovy. When I was teaching at Northland Pioneer College, I said, all right, now we're going to do a 70s, you know, show, so I want you to do something groovy. One kid walks in with a shirt all torn up, and I said, you know, you're supposed to dress groovy. Well, we looked it up in the dictionary, and it says it was clothes that are worn out and holy. And I thought, who in the heck came up with that? You know, but it's one of those things. How do you define slang? Makes it difficult, doesn't it? But I think in this case, we're probably pretty easy with saying that groovy is joy. And this joy, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Amen. Amen.